We'll begin with a prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask that you be with us now as we meditate upon another precious section of the Word which you have given us. We pray that you open our hearts and give us the peace which you would have us have, we who are living in these final days of earth history as we know it. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Malachi chapter 3, the first part of verse 6. For I am the Lord, I change not. Walking through the grocery store a day or two ago, and it was packed. People were buying food for Thanksgiving and this sort of thing. And as I was walking through the store, Chris was doing the work, doing the shopping, I was kind of moseying along, and it suddenly hit me. Nobody looked very happy. And in fact, everybody that I saw looked depressed. And I was wondering, is everybody that way? There were many, many, many people in the store, so I started walking around and looking. I didn't see one person that looked happy. They were all very depressed. And so I started thinking about this, and it's easy to see why that could happen. Because we're living in a world where things seem to be constantly changing. You don't know from one day to the next what's going to be happening. There's a verse in the Lutheran hymnal that has this passage in it. Time passes and much change doth bring and sets a bound to everything. And sometimes it's very difficult in certain situations to be happy. We're living in a world that is breathing its last. It's winding down by the second. And things are changing. Some of the changes are very good. I'm so thankful for cataract surgery. I can see things now that I couldn't see before, ever. And you've had examples of that too. As I'm going through, I'd like all of you to kind of participate in this and think your own thoughts. But things like that are good. There's a lot of good things happening. But there's also a lot of bad things happening. And changes that are not good, at least outwardly. So I thought I would start out by mentioning a few changes that have taken place in my life from early childhood. And as I'm doing this, I'd like each of you to participate. I mean, you have things in your childhood, memories of things that have changed, and things that you miss. So, and it doesn't take long for us to realize, even as little children, that there are changes that take place in this world. And a lot of the changes are changes that we wish never would have happened. I clearly remember the first pet that I had. It was a mutt. It was part beagle hound and part terrier. Her name was Poochie. And other people would look at her and say, well, it's just a common dog. But to me, she was very, very precious. And I must have been 3 or 4 years old, I don't know, around in there, when all of a sudden my dad and my mother were concerned. And the problem was that the dog was getting a big stomach. And she wasn't pregnant. So I watched my father lift up the dog, put him in the car, and drive to the vet's place. When my father came home, the dog wasn't with him. I never saw her again. Something had changed, and it still affects me. A little while later, I was on my uncle's farm. We visited that a lot. I'd play with my cousins out there. We'd play hide and seek at night under the yard light. There's no problem with that. Milking cows in the barn early in the morning, later at night. Barn swallows in the barn. I clearly remember being fascinated by barn swallows. They seemed to be part of our family. They weren't scared or anything. And they were almost tame. I remember hiking in the woods and seeing bird nests with red-tailed hawks in them. And then the red-tailed hawks would fly and circle in the skies. I just loved that. Can't do that anymore because everything out there is gone. Some things had changed. My uncle fell into bad health, sold the farm to real estate people, and the barn's gone, the house is gone, the corn crib is gone, the woods are gone, the nests are gone. It's a great big unit filled with homes. Some things had changed. Living in La Crosse on the north side, very often, in the summer especially, we'd play hide-and-seek at night in our neighborhood, sometimes being out till 10, 10:30, and there was no problem. There would be children playing in the streets, just about all over the, you know, playing softball, tag, whatever, soccer. Yeah, almost every couple blocks you'd see that. Now you don't see that anymore. I only know of one block in the north side of La Crosse right now where you even have a chance of seeing children playing in the streets. But mostly, it's too dangerous. Some things had changed. Read the newspaper, look at the news in our own country. Some things have changed. It's not like it used to be. So change, change, change. And sometimes it's depressing. But the other truth of the matter is that there are also things that have not changed. Things that have not changed since we were little children. And so we can say, well, there are some things that have not changed in our world. But let's rephrase that. There are many things that have not changed in our world. And this is important. When things are changing, 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 changing all the time, you get the distinct impression that nobody's in control of anything anymore. It's utter chaos. Constitution is being ignored right, left, and in between. Police forces are being diminished and taken away. And criminals are being catered to. And the innocent people are suffering and nobody seems to care about that. So, but the truth of the matter is that these many things outnumber the bad things. And some things change so little. And there's comfort in that. And we should be thankful for these things. The one thing that makes the difference for every one of us is the knowledge of the truth, which we get from Holy Scripture, that the Almighty, all-powerful God who loves us and gave his son to die for us, is in full control of everything that happens. That's the game changer. The last book of the Old Testament, Malachi 3, first part of verse 6, puts it this way, I am the Lord, I change not. So, we look at some pages from the volume of Nature. The Holy Spirit, along with the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit was involved in the creation of everything, way back in Genesis 1 and 2. And the Holy Spirit is also the one that wrote Holy Scripture. It's inspired, it's breathed into by the Holy Spirit. So the Bible that we're reading is really the Word of God. It's not a human book. It uses human language, but they were inspired by the Holy Spirit. And there are many authors, humanly speaking, in the book, but they were all inspired by the Holy Spirit. So the truth, the comforting truth is, there's only one author in the Bible. One, and that's the Holy Spirit. And so we look at what the Spirit has created in the volume of Nature and what He has written in the pages of Holy Scripture. And there are some comforting things there. We're celebrating Thanksgiving this week, and the first thing we think of is the field of harvest. Farmers are out in the field. Some of them have already finished the taking in the crop. Others around our area, which got planting a little bit later, are still out and they're in the fields. And it's a very pleasant sight. We think of God's promise way back in Genesis chapter 8. We're talking about 6,000 years ago, give or take. Genesis 22, or 8, verse 22, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. So this promise was given after the flood, but it held true before the flood too, with one exception. There was a year where there was no seed time and there was no harvest. And the reason is because the earth was filled with water and covered completely, even the high mountains. So there was no seed time, there was no harvest that year. But that's the only year there hasn't been. And it's interesting, you wonder what Noah and those with him in the ark must have felt when they walked out into a world that had changed drastically from what it was. And is this going to happen again? And so God gave a promise. While the Hebrew has it, while days of earth remain. So going back probably around 4,000 years from where we are right now, the days of earth were numbered. Not the years, the days. Not many days left. Well, there's been 4,000 years of them that have passed. And if back in Genesis, God said that while days of earth are numbered, what would He say now? Minutes? Seconds? We're living in the final days of earth history as we know it. But the thing that is, you walk into a field of corn, and if you look carefully, you see some stalks there, and there will be a cob of corn on the stalk. And a cob of corn is one of the most amazing miracles on the face of the earth when you study it. And it happens every year. So what you should do, and this has been going on, you know, since creation, really, except for that one year. It's been going on since creation. And so what you should do, you walk into the field of corn, and you look at the stalk, and you see a cob of corn, and what you should say is, some things change so little. You were in the same field last year, and you looked at the corn, and there's a cob on every stalk. And so you get in the car, and you drive away, go to the next farm. There's a field of corn out there. You get out there, and you walk into the field, and you look at the stalk, and there's a cob of corn. And you walk through the field, and every stalk that you look at has a cob of corn on it. And some things change so little. And corn, we're told, in some form or other, is pretty wild worldwide. It's found just about everywhere in our civilization. And all of these things happen in the same way at the same time of the year. And it's always the same. You don't come to a cob of corn and, or instead of a cob of corn, you see an apple. No, it's the same thing. The volume of nature. Son of God talked about foxes and birds. And in Matthew 8, verse 20, he says this, Jesus saith unto him, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. He gives it a double shot. Luke 9:58, and Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. So you can look at this volume, the page of the volume of nature, and well, one of the things for sure that you think of is the amazing love that the Son of God has and had to leave his throne of glory in heaven with a heavenly Father and come down and walk on this earth, which he created, but it's now under the curse. And the fox, which he created, have holes where they can live. They dig holes. And the birds, which he created, have nests to rest in. But he had neither. He was worse off, if you want to put it that way, than the creatures that he created. He wandered. He was a stranger in this earth. That's love. But you look here again. Foxes dig holes. And we have some fox dens in the tobacco shed that we've got, especially way in the back. We've had a lot of fox that have raised their little ones there. And they do this all the time, every year. Dig holes. And birds. How many birds are there in the world? Do you have any idea? Well, they build nests. And some of them return to the nests they built previous years, but they still built them at one time or other. And you'll never find it happen where a bird, a whole flock of birds come flying up after the during the springtime and decide, you know, we're not going to build any nests this year. Too much work. And we're not going to lay any eggs, and we're not going to hatch any. It's just too much bother. We're going to take the year off. That never happens. It never, ever happens. When the birds migrate up, they build nests, they lay eggs, and they raise little ones. And every time you see this, you should say, some things change so little. And every nest you see, some bird built that. Some things change so little. And this has been happening for 6,000 years, give or take. It always happens that way. And yes, some things change so little. You go out into a field, especially in the Holy Land, and you look at the wildflowers. Another page from the volume of nature. And Son of God says in Luke 12:27, consider the lilies. The lilies that he's talking about are not like these lilies that we see usually around Easter time, which I don't think they're all that beautiful anyway. Some people like them. But these wild flowers are, they were tremendously beautiful. All different colors. Consider, let's translate it that way. Consider the lie of a wild flowers, how they grow. They toil not, neither they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. So let's play the numbers game. Who can possibly count the numbers of wild flowers that the Lord God plants in the world every single year? Not just our own country, not just the state, not just the city, the whole world. All these wild flowers. We look for signs of spring, the crocus for sure, and purple violets that appear on our lawn. And boy, that now spring is really here. It's a good sign. Then the dandelions come and they multiply so fast you can't count them all. But they're beautiful too in their own way. And but there's more than this. We had the blessing one time of being able to climb up Mount Rainier to the snow line. And where snow used to be, the sun had melted it up, and you could walk on dry ground where the snow used to be, sometimes 5 or 6 feet deep. And you looked around, and there's beautiful wild flowers. Beautiful. And every one of them would have put Solomon to shame in all of his glory. And God causes these things to grow, and he does it every single year. Some things change so little. And then how many of them, if you were with us climbing Mount Rainier, and I didn't do this, but what I should have done is when I saw one wildflower say, you know, some things change so little. And then there's another one right next to it. Some things change so little. Some things change so little. It happens over and over and over and over and over and over and over again, and we tend to take it for granted. But we shouldn't take it for granted. There's a lot of changes going on in this world, and some of them are not very nice. But there are many, many more things that are just exactly the way they were 6,000 years ago. And there's some comfort in that. How many millions of wild flowers does God plant out there, and no human eye ever sees a one of them, but they're out there. And some things change so little. So we open the volume of nature to the sun, moon, and stars. You see the same lesson being taught there. There are two great lights that make their appearance without fail. The greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. And if you're fortunate, like I was this morning, sometimes you can see the two great lights at the same time. The sun was shining in the east, and the moon was still visible in the sky. So there were the two great lights. Once in a while that happened, you see them both. But it's always the sun coming. It's always the moon coming. Every morning and every night. And this has been going on for 6,000 years. Which of us can forget the beauty of a glowing sunset or the sight of a full moon in a cloudless night sky? And I had an experience about a month or two ago, I guess, that I'd never thought of. I was out, took the garbage out, was quite late at night, and I'm walking back to the house, and there was a full moon out there. It was just strikingly beautiful. And the thought hit me. You know, the same moon that I'm looking at right now, Adam and Eve looked at when they were living in the Garden of Eden. Some things change so little. The same moon that I was looking at, Abraham and Sarah looked at when they walked the planet. Same moon. Some things change so little. Isaac and Rebekah, Jacob and Leah and Rachel. The same moon. Moses down in Egypt. saw the same moon that I'm looking at. Ruth the Moabitess, when she moved to the Holy Land, and even before that, saw the same moon that I was looking at. Some things change so little over some 6,000 years. It's amazing. And you see the hand of God in this. It seems to bring the past much closer, doesn't it? And really, when you stop to think about it, 6,000 years is not that long from the time that Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden until right now. It's not that long. There's something comforting in all this. And then you look at the stars, not only the sun and the moon, but the stars. And in Psalm chapter 8, verse 3, we have an amazing statement. Psalm 8, verse 3, when I consider the heaven, thy heavens, they belong to God, by the way. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers. That's amazing. Fingers, that's the detailed work. The small, miniature stuff. He's comparing the stars to that. There's a star in the constellation of Orion. It's called Betelgeuse. Astronomers tell us that if it were at the center of the Earth, the star still wouldn't break out through the crust of the sun some 93 million miles away. In other words, the radius of this star from the center to its outer core is more than 93 million miles. That's just the radius. And astronomers tell us that there are stars out there that are much bigger than Betelgeuse, much larger. And these are the works of God's fingers? It's amazing. He telleth the number of the stars. We can't count them. We can't give the stars a number. We can't even see some of the stars with the great telescopes that we have to search the heavens. But he telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. This is amazing. Every star has a name. That's how God works. And more than that, these stars are formed into constellations. And these constellations, we could call them the gospel in the stars, because that's exactly what they are. And they've been that way from the fourth day of creation. And these constellations give us the same truths, precious, precious truths, that the Holy Bible gives us. And this is not surprising, because the same Holy Spirit that created the sun, moon, and stars also inspired Holy Scripture. There's no disagreement in what's being taught. And if you read the gospel in the stars, you find it's the same truths that are presented in Holy Scripture. It talks about the seed of the woman that crushes the seed of Draco the dragon. And this is over and over and over again, and it never changed. Some things change so little. And there's nothing that the devil can do about it. The devil was a created being also. He's not all-powerful like the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are. The devil was a created being. And Jesus Christ controls him just by the word of his mouth. The devil's strong compared to us, but he's a weakling compared to the Son of God. And all these things we should be thankful for. Some things change so little. And there's much, much more here. You can finish this sermon yourself. But that's the precious, precious thing. And it all gets back to the fact that there is a God who is in control of everything, and nothing ever happens by chance. And we look at all the changes that are happening in our world right now. To an extent they never have been before. And it's all under God's control. The devil does things, but it's only by the control of God and God allowing it to happen. And the precious promise is that everything that's happening in our world is working together for God's elect, the bride of Jesus Christ. So the main thought for Thanksgiving Day this year is five little words. Five is the number of grace. And the five words are, some things change so little.